You are listening to Space Questions, answered by Jeff. Brought to you by SpaceVidcast.com, making space commonplace.
It was a dark, stormy, humid summer night on the space coast of Florida. The shuttle was resting quietly on the pad. Suddenly, I felt a tugging at my shoulder. I spun around just in the nick of time for a viewer to ask me, "Hey Jeff, what would happen if one of the rocket engines failed to ignite at launch?" This is another installment of Space Podcast Questions and Answers. I'll start off by pointing out that a few of the folks that have asked the question have wondered about it after seeing the kids' movie from the 1980s titled Space Camp, which I personally enjoyed even if it was a little bit too sci-fi. It's got space shuttles in it. That's pretty cool. I like space shuttles. Here's a clip from the actual movie itself that started all of this and made me want to make this podcast.
Thermal curtain failure. Not changing friends forever.
3, 4, 5.
We have overheat on booster B.
Temperature 1200 degrees and climbing. Get that thing operational.
The thermal curtain is failing.
Imminent to test.
We're past shutdown temperature. We can't stop it.
We have thermal curtain failure.
Temperature is critical.
Captain, get out of there now!
Andy, make them stop! Make them turn it off!
They're fine!
Booster B is near ignition. It's gonna light.
Andy, help us!
Light was great. Launch us or we're gonna explode!
What's happening?
Please help me!
Do it.
Zach, we're not authorized.
Light it or they're gonna die.
Ignite Booster A!
5, 4,
on Booster igniters.
Booster dice on.
Throw me out onto her! Throw it!
Go for launch! Now!
Light it.
But to answer the question and bum everybody out, there are a number of factors involved. The Space Shuttle Main Engines, or SSMEs, fire at T-6.6 seconds. If an SSME doesn't light off and get to 104% rated thrust before T-0, the launch is scrubbed or postponed until the problem is found and repaired. Not a big deal, relatively speaking. It's one of the advantages to a liquid rocket. You can turn them off. Solid rocket boosters, or SRBs, have an igniter that lights a small pyrotechnic charge that lights a rocket within the core of the boosters. It's a bunch of little explosions that make one big flame. I've mentioned that in a previous podcast. But the odds of the igniter in each booster failing is extremely unlikely, as we've seen in the last 264 successful ignitions of the SRBs used in missions, plus all the igniters used in tests, over 300 and probably closer to 400 in total, with absolutely zero failures. That's NASA engineering right there. Hats off to them. Now for the bad news. If one SRB does fail to ignite, the outcome would be catastrophic. For starters, with only two or maybe three shuttle flights remaining at the time of this recording, it would almost certainly end the shuttle program. They can't alternate between two orbiters and still sustain a stable spaceflight program. There are four hold down posts on each booster, and they keep the entire stack from tipping over due to wind or when the mobile launch platform is moved from the vehicle assembly building out to the launch pad. These hold down posts are designed with a small pyrotechnic charge, known as a NASA standard detonator, in them, designed to split each post just 1/100th of a second before SRB ignition. So for that split second, the shuttle is literally floating in midair. However, there's always a however in rocket science, some of these hold down posts have been known to not fully separate, even with the successful firing of the explosive charges from time to time, and the thrust provided by the SRBs and the SSMEs has no trouble just ripping the posts right out of their mounts and taking the bits uphill. It's actually kind of cool if you get a chance to look, because those hold down posts are about 7 inches, 8 inches across, and there's one of those detonators in between that, when it blows up, it actually cuts that bolt in half. Like I said, sometimes it doesn't actually do it. But as far as the shuttle and engines are concerned, or the boosters, it doesn't exist to them and takes it all straight up into the air. Physically, though, if the right SRB failed to light off but the other didn't, the stack would run into the launch tower, referred to as the fixed service structure, rupturing both SRBs, each one filled with 1.3 million pounds of propellant that burn at 5,600 degrees Fahrenheit, and the external tank with 1.5 million pounds of liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen in it. Together they burn at 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit, plus the 21,600 pounds of propellant the orbiter carries, which is monomethylhydrazine is the fuel, and nitrogen tetroxide is the oxidizer. This is nasty, toxic stuff. I actually got to work with hydrazine when I was in the military, and they showed training videos on it, and just breathing in one or two breaths is enough to actually kill you. Like, not, you know, you go to the hospital, but it's enough to kill you pretty much on the spot. Depends on the concentration, of course. But, yeah, it's nasty stuff, and with that sort of an event, when it runs into the fixed service structure, and you have all this fuel burning and all these toxic things, it would be a massive fireball with intense heat, and it would kill the crew and probably even a few folks on the ground, destroying the vehicle, of course, and things nearby.
Kaboom!
If the left booster lit and the right one didn't, the stack would spiral into the Atlantic Ocean a few hundred feet from the pad, again, killing the crew with a really messy, nasty, toxic explosion. I don't expect it to happen, though, with these last few missions, knock on wood, but it'd be a bad day for space geeks around the world indeed. If you have questions, or just want to chat about space-related topics, log into spacevidcast.com/live anytime you'd like. We're never closed, and I strongly urge you to log in every Friday morning at 2 a.m. Universal Coordinated Time, or for those of us in the U.S. on Daylight Savings Time, that's Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, and 7 Pacific. If you're in Standard Time or don't honor Daylight Savings, the live show starts at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and 6 Pacific. Also, as one of the most passionate space geeks on Space Vidcast, I beg you to tune in to spacevidcast.com during these last few shuttle missions. We got a few folks in chat, always happy to answer your space, astronomy, spaceflight, aerospace, astrophysics, anything like that, including myself. We're not like NASA TV where you just sit there listening to an hour-long period of, well, this is the space shuttle Discovery on its way to the launch pad to go to the International Space Station carrying seven. We're not like that. We know NASA is boring. We try to avoid that as best we can. So, instead of boring you with all that rot, we actually have, you know, HD. We do pre-launch, launch, and post-launch interviews and coverage in HD and standard def, just in case your computer can't handle HD. We show some awesome angles of the launch pad. We have several live interviews from regular folks down at the launch site, actually watching the launch, and not sitting in a chair in air conditioning with a little set of headphones on where they're just kind of listening to someone dribble about what their job is. Cares about that. They want to hear about what the common people want to say. You go out to the launch pad and look, there's Bob down there. Let's go talk to him. He's not going to walk up and go, well, this is my third time watching the shuttle launch. I think it's exciting, but no. You've got people yelling and hooping and hollering and making all kinds of noise and having a good time. So, stop him. We care about the viewers. We don't just talk into a microphone. Boring. We don't get paid to be boring. Emotions are not banned here at Space Vidcast. So stop in, check it out. We do have some pretty cool prizes we give out on Twitter for answering trivia questions. And we're also on Facebook. If you have any shuttle questions, or any space questions at all for that matter, don't hesitate to email me at Jeff, that's J-E-P-H, at spacevidcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Keep them coming, guys. I do appreciate it. And we at Space Vidcast hope to see you in chat. Until next time, keep your eyes to the sky.